Lugoli drinkers, Big Z here. The Lions with the last second victory over the Packers. Big 37-30 victory at home to end the season. They lock in that number two draft pick. They get the win, even though the Jaguars won. The Lions still had a chance to, you know, pick up that number one draft pick, but they pull out the victory. And we're okay with that here. Drink the Boot Kool-Aid. We'll get into that. We'll get reacting to the game, reacting to the firings around the NFC North as well, just a little bit. But a lot of exciting things happening, despite not making the playoff and having the number two overall pick. A lot more positivity than you ever hope, considering we only won three games this year. But anyway, sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. Stop the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog!
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the Blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. And the regular season, our 2021-2022 season has finished for the Detroit Lions, but they do it with a bang, beating the Packers in a very up and down, very fun game to watch, 37-30. The Lions close out their last home game with a victory. Jared Goff in his last four starts goes 3-1 to end the season. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
So we'll have a lot to talk about here, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So we got Connor.
Yo.
Bob.
Hello there.
Rud Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
What is up, Lion fans?
All right, folks. So, man, where do we want to start here? Let's start with the offense here, just because it was a lot of fun watching the offense play in this game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, again. 8 catches, 109 yards, and touchdown. I think he solidified himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people like thought maybe this is like a flash in the pan here because it wasn't the beginning of the season, but no, he is legit. He had that nice catch over the middle where he got tackled immediately, but then he broke the tackle and then kept going for another 10 yards.
Yeah, that was awesome.
that was a fantastic.
We were at the game. We were to see that touchdown on the fourth down, just a phenomenal route. Like motioning in slightly, then stopping on a dime, finding the soft spot in the defense, a bit wide open.
Yeah, that was a great design for that route.
Just a very special player.
Very heads up play.
It's just really exciting to watch him play.
Yeah, we weren't at the game, but just from watching on TV, it was really cool seeing him and his brother, his parents in the crowd, and it was just kind of a cool thing. His parents were in the dual jerseys. It was kind of interesting. So. Yeah. It was just neat seeing it from that vantage point too.
It's the only way I could accept a Packers Lions combo jersey. That's if you have two sons playing for both teams, like I'll accept it.
That's the parental exemption they call it.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But he does kind of remind me of Golden Tate, like after the catch, you know, like the way he sees the field and like does those cutbacks.
See, like I said it last week. No one believe me. Connor just said it.
I'm with you. I think slot receivers taken care of for a long time, hopefully, because I love this guy. And with so few other receiving options, he's still finding ways to make big plays.
And it's I love the way that Campbell has used him in other ways now. We saw it in this game, putting him in on Wildcat in the red zone.
Yes.
Using him on the reverses because he's such a vocal point of our offense lately. They're going to pay a little extra attention to him when they hand it off in the reverse. And I think that's right. A little reason why those two reverse passes ended up in touchdowns. Now, it's not the only reason, but I think a reason.
I think it was a big reason.
Well, the one play, I forget which one, whose it was, but it was literally set up off that inside trap, like a counter or trap we've been running with him up the middle the last few games. Where you know they pull the right side guard and center or guard and tackle, and then he runs right up the middle, They ran it like super successfully a couple games ago. It was that exact same thing, but then
yeah, I think in the first one
pitch. Yeah, what was it, the first one?
Tom Kennedy touchdown pass.
Yeah, it was.
TK.
It was great to see though. It was just great to see that them TK. Paying off that setup though.
He was briefly on the leaderboard for passing leaders.
I know, 75 yard touchdown. 75 yards. Kennedy.
Early in the day, he was like number six. It was crazy.
Perfect QB rating. Just wanted.
Those reverse routes.
Yeah,
were getting,
Fox should have had.
The Packers are getting burned all day on all those reverses, and then
three reverses of success in big scenarios. Yeah, they were just completely
lost. Never adjusted to it.
Hey, but how creative is Campbell, man? I mean, calling some of these plays, it's just so much fun. It's so much fun to watch
his play calling. I find very exciting,
but
enjoyable.
It's fun, like with smart fun. Like they set it up. You know, like,
yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Road Dogg was talking about that play has been set up for a few weeks. It worked, so they tried
another
a different variation
field goal
on it.
Should have worked too.
The fake punt, you mean? The fake punt.
The fake punt.
Speaking of perfect passer ratings, it was ruined on that play. I thought it could have been a little better throw. It was a little short, but
what? Can he drop the
right
dime,
through his arms?
Right in his arms.
That was tight coverage.
Right through his arm. Yeah, the coverage was nice. He was screened a little bit, but he dropped the
maybe need to see replay again, because in real time it looked like the pass was a little short.
You got to catch that.
No, it literally went right between his arms, Big Z.
I don't think
it went
short. I thought it was
right between them. Like, the only thing a little bit further would have done would put it right on his hands instead of between his arms. But, I mean, come on. Like, it was in the breadbasket.
It was tight, but he definitely should have had the catch, I think.
Jack Fox.
You know what was great about that, too, was they missed it, and then the defense picked him up and stopped him there.
Yes.
True. That turnover right
if
back,
we
right?
Yeah, cut Tim Boyle, we can just sign Jack Fox as backup, don't you think? Save some money.
Yeah.
Why not?
Or TK.
Yeah, that's true. One of those. They can be second and third string.
TK, run the Wildcat. Bring Fox in there. Be a pocket passer.
We can
be
run
awesome.
A three quarterback system next season. Think about it, guys.
And then he can punt if he wants to, too. That's another option.
Surprise punt on second down.
I just
down.
Hope he doesn't forget and first down and punt accidentally when he's in the shotgun. Like, oh shit.
So
sorry guys.
Punt it to a receiver? Can you punt it to a receiver? Like, can you do a legal forward punt?
I don't think so.
Ah, okay.
Anthony Lynn is now off of, I mean, we all saw it coming, but Anthony Lynn no longer with the Lions as we record this. Which we all expected, but you know, I still think he was a positive legacy in terms of his 1 year, because I think the run game's heavily improved, and I think he has something to do with that design, because that was his kind of bread and butter, and a big reason why the Lions wanted to establish a run game. This is the most common, I would say this is the most consistent Lions rush we've had in many years.
It's the most efficient since 1998, they were saying, like yards per carry.
Oh, really?
Wow. So basically in my lifetime, that's crazy.
Yeah. So since the Barry era or whatever, not bad.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. And this game, it wasn't even like that well done. I mean, 26 carries for 99 yards. One of those was on a reverse, and then the big one at the end to seal the deal. But other than that, it wasn't. It wasn't super effective throughout the game. But it still, I think, was respected enough.
And that's with our depleted line, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to that. So Sewell was out already going in this game.
Yeah.
Decker gets hurt. We have Evan Brown, who's been a really good. I don't think we've talked about him enough on this podcast. Just in terms of how good of a center he's been as a backup. He's been.
Oh yeah.
Really solid. Like, you don't notice him. That's. That's a good thing.
He's playing starter quality football since he's been.
The quality drop off was not too severe. Which was really nice.
Makes you wonder when Ragnall comes back if they could shift him to guard or something. I don't know if he can do that. I don't know. But and did you? Yeah. I didn't see it, but they said Jonah Jackson played center.
Yeah,
he did.
He did.
Because I didn't notice it during the game.
Our backup,
Brown was so bad.
The backup came in, and then he got trucked on the next play. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah,
that was
Goff
brutal.
Got some bad pressure.
What is the same thing that happened early in the year when Evan Brown got hurt, too. McCollum just not up to par. So Jonah Jackson being able to fill was huge. He had a nice block, too, on the touchdown run. He got up to the second level just enough to put the linebacker on his heels. Yep. To
sometimes all you need
out to the outside. So
yeah.
Did you see Jonah in the locker room when Campbell gave him props for playing center and he's doing a little dance? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know. I missed that.
Hey, there's kind That's of a real cool, joy yeah. on this team, though. I mean, when you see these guys in the locker room and stuff, I think they're really think they're part of building something right now.
You know? Oh, no doubt.
And I think these guys want to stay, you know, whether the contracts allow them to or not or whatever. But I mean, hearing Tracy Walker talk and some of these other guys, I mean, I think they really want to be a part of what's building here right now. So that's kind
no
of
doubt. You know what bothers me is all the fans who are like, we could have had the number one draft pick because the Jags won. Like, how could the Lions possibly win this game? Mike.
Hey, the
but come on. Everyone was thinking
that way?
About
like,
it at the
I don't
time.
Know. It's just so.
You were thinking. We were,
like, that's so same old Lions to
it.
Want to tank for a pick.
That's the thing. Yeah.
No. I didn't want to tank, but come on. You were thinking.
I was coming to terms with it, though. Like, after they went ahead, I was like.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Relax.
Yeah.
Relax, Jack. If they lose, we get the first pick, and that's a good thing.
I didn't care.
But then I was so psyched when we won.
I'm glad they got the win. If Andrew Luck were sitting there at one, I might have felt a little differently. I'd be like, oh,
right.
I want to get
There's
that.
Not
pick.
An Andrew
well,
Luck.
That's,
this draft, I'll you know, take the win.
That was the exact. You read my mind because that was the exact thought I had. Like, there's not, like, Andrew Luck was sitting. You read my mind. Yes.
Yeah.
There's not that. There's not like a Trevor Lawrence type, you know, like
no.
someone that's like head above
or
heels,
Joe Burrow. Yeah. There's no. The best guy isn't even.
But the Lions
thing,
also have a
yeah.
you know good recent history of number two draft picks too with Sue and Johnson. So
that's true.
Maybe two
good
is
point.
Where you want to be. The number one people freak out a little too much.
I'm perfectly fine at two in this draft. I mean, there's two elite players at the position we want so desperately and need so desperately. So it's like we can't really lose at two.
And they may both be available because the Jags need O-line help badly. So
desperately protect their investment in Lawrence. And maybe there is a top-notch tackle from Bama in this draft. So, I mean, yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? It would actually be a lot like when we picked Sue because – remember, it was like everyone thought Sue or McCoy would go first, but then we had our choice of the two because I forget who they picked ahead of us, but we took Sue and
Sue and
history,
Calvin Johnson
we could have
were
our
last two number two picks, so we're on a good
quick
stream.
Quick question, super premature, and I don't know, but I just want to get a sense of who do you guys pick if we do have a chance at Thibodeau versus Hutchinson?
Well, I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm extremely biased. So I would ask someone else.
Yeah, I'd say Hutch, but I could be swayed, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Leaning Hutch, too. I'm leaning.
The leadership qualities, I think, would be great. Like, that's an intangible you don't always think about, but I think he'd be great locker room presence, too, on this team.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's just a menacing-looking dude, man. He's what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that?
Yeah,
and just a...
I think I would go Thibodeau right now if I had to pick one, but
yeah,
I just think it's tough.
We'll be debating
just where
this
he can fit in this defense
a
excites me
pods.
A lot.
This will be a debate.
We have a lot of time to debate that.
Draft preview,
my big thing between the two is just production. Hutchinson, he you know,
production.
broke the sack record in college at Michigan and
no injury history.
Just like where Thibodeau,
Hutchinson does have an injury
doesn't
history.
Match
he missed almost. All of last year, or a large part of last year, the foot injury.
Yeah, they both
so.
Have injuries in their past. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think
Kayvon's
more concerning, in my opinion.
Is Hutchinson has more production, whereas Thibodeau, his lack of production is the big question mark. So, I mean, there might be an answer to it, but you
I
know,
think
I haven't done enough in-depth film to know what it is.
I want to table this discussion for now because we're going to have a few
it's
months
fine.
Here to
oh,
talk
yeah.
about it.
I just wanted to bring
and,
it up early.
More film breakdown and stuff like that where we can.
Sure.
Bring up certain instances.
Like I said, way too early.
I want to go back to the offense, though, before we jump to the defense side of the ball. His last four games, so Minnesota, Denver, Arizona, and Green Bay, 5, 6, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'm talking about Jared Goff, of course, 3-1 in those games. And that loss to Denver, well, we were missing a boatload of people at the last minute. So maybe you can even excuse that one, perhaps. But Jared Goff, 117 quarterback rating, and that's good for fourth in the league the last four games of the season here. So
yeah,
pretty good.
He played pretty well.
Very encouraging going into next year that he might
absolutely.
Be able to be a guy that we can keep around at least compete with next year.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I didn't. Yeah.
You could say we fleeced the Rams.
Yeah, right.
If you shave a ram, don't you get fleece out of it? Or
that's
like
true.
That?
Yeah, right.
Kid Jay's somewhere shaking his head. He's outraged.
Oh boy,
Bob spitting facts fleece. On the pod today.
Yeah, another animal fact.
I gotta say though,
and you know,
the heart of a lion.
The thing is, his production this year too, mm-hmm. like. They literally met the bare minimum of like a complete starting lineup on offense. That's like his production skyrocketed when Josh Reynolds came on board and we finally had a complete offense. If not the most talented offense, we at least had, you know, passable talent at every position. And suddenly he yeah. started looking like a whole different person. I think also that has to do with Campbell being in his ear. I think there was a reclamation project underway and Campbell really worked on his psyche a bit, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, imagine next year throw him some weapons. Treylon Burks comes to mind, some big fast receivers in this draft. If we could get one of them to add to the what we already got, maybe bring Reynolds back and with St. Brown and Cephas. I mean, oh, it could
Cephas,
be a really
Hall of Famer?
Exciting start next year.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think Cephas this year, next year is going to come with a chip on his shoulder because St. Brown showed out so big this year.
We're debating this ahead. In the car ride back from Detroit. How early should we go for a receiver, do you guys think, in this draft? Because we definitely need
as early
one.
As one, depending. Second pick in the first round at the earliest.
Well, at the earliest, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would be happy with that if we got the
receiver. I'd wait till the third round, maybe, though.
I would be comfortable waiting till the second round, but
I don't mind the second first round pick. Is that
third
what you
pick,
meant?
I meant.
You, Rudd Dog, the second first round
no,
pick?
No, I meant the second. Yeah, second first round
oh,
pick.
I thought you meant second overall. Round. Yeah, I thought you meant second.
No, second. Oh, nobody knew what you were talking about. No. Second first round pick that we have, I think, would be as early as I'd consider, depending on who's left at that point.
And that Ranger might be like Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. Those are like the names that have been.
There'll be some
around.
Good names. And we got, you know, didn't Holmes kind of make his rep on picking guys late, figuring these guys out, finding good prospects? In yeah. the middle part of the draft for receiver, right. So I mean
look what he's done this year.
We need to
look what he's done this year with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Right.
A lot of
Cup was one.
I mean, we can jump to the defense side. I think Iffy, he looks really
that
promising.
Play.
Yeah,
that pass defense he had in that game where he just like casually was covering.
Yeah, and that's just his pure size, awesome. Like outmatching Davante Adams on that one.
And he turned fantastic. His head back to the quarterback.
Yes,
quarterback.
He did.
Awesome. Don't do that a lot.
Yeah,
for some
and he
reason.
Stuck. Because you always get burned on those pass interference calls when you don't turn the head. So,
yep.
So right. True.
Crucial. I will say, though, Aaron Rodgers was carving up our secondary all most of the first half. So there's work to be done.
That was pass rush again.
He did.
You're right, Connor. But I think it was It was our pass rush. Just, I mean, we did eventually take him down a couple times, but. We were making them work for everything. But like, I'm just saying, like, imagine Thibodeau or Hutchinson to that pass rush. That first half even looks different, in my opinion. Like, just like that guy who can truly, you know, because I think we got a few prospects on our roster now in the form, like Levi and McNeil. And McNeil actually had a good game in this case. Even Pennacini, I like a lot. But I think we got some guys who could potentially develop into studs. But we just need that one true verified all-out stud like Hutchinson or Thibodeau, and I think that takes our front seven to a whole nother level, and I think we finally start getting consistent pressure.
Yeah, Aquara had a nice sack in this game, a nice hustle sack from the backside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he still leaves a lot to be desired in the run game. he was getting blown back on a few of these plays in this game.
Yeah, there's no doubt our defense needs a lot of work. I mean, just the amount of points and yards we've given up. But, I mean, they're good at making some key stops sometime, but overall we need a lot of them.
How about the guy
scrappy.
Who made 90% of all the tackles in that game, Tracy Walker?
Yeah,
it seemed like
stud.
He was making every tackle. That's what it seemed like watching.
I think
he
made at least 10.
He made a lot, man.
He got shook up there. I don't know what happened to him, but then he came back and made some plays, so it was nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he got a nice pick at the end, a reward for a good game, man. It was nice to see.
Yeah, 14 tackles in this game, 10 solo. Will Harris at 8.
Wow, he ended up with 14?
That's unbelievable. I mean, it was a great game for him.
And the thing that really impressed me about Walker is his ability to end a play at the point where he makes contact. Like that one play where running back, I think it's Connor or whatever, broke out to the outside. He's a big dude. and Walker just took him upper body and manned up against him and just ended his run in the open field and pushed him out of bounds backwards. That was beastly, in my opinion. That's a man at safety right there. And then he did something like that. He dove through, took down Devontae Adams in the open field by himself later. Yeah. Did another. He was, yeah. I'm just saying, this game he showed out. And he showed what a asset he is, and I hope we retain him. Though then the one time he gets beat by the tight end, he gives up a long touchdown. So it just showed how important he was to that game.
I'm really curious what he gets in free agency. Like, I've seen some of them
back here. Hopefully.
Some people float like $10 million plus. I don't know what they pay him.
He's gonna get a big payday though.
He'll get a big payday.
One of them. Yeah.
So is that the question? What do you guys think? What? How far do we go to retain him?
Well, we're going to have to go pretty far.
What do you do for $10 million a year?
For $10 million a year, yes. For like 12, no. Yes. I don't.
Yeah, he's going to get something like that, though, at least.
I'm never a big cap guy because the cap is kind of like magic. It's like computers in the digital realm. It's like wizardry, and they can move. Make all these little tricks to make things move around and stuff. So as long as the team makes the move, I'll trust their process here.
So
if they feel like he's worth it, I'll trust what they.
So the 10th highest paid safety in the league is John Johnson, who just signed a free agency deal last year. He's for Cleveland, and he got $11.25 million.
Oh.
After that, there's two safeties on Buffalo that make $9.7 and $9.6. Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. So. And if you're wondering, Jamal Adams tops in the league, 17.5, and then Harrison Smith, $16 million. But I don't think Tracy Walker's at their level by any means. I think Tracy Walker falls.
Whose level?
Maybe we're just too high in Tracy Walker, though. I was talking about Harrison Smith, just Jamal Adams. I don't think he's at their level by any means.
Oh, at the top? No, he hasn't done that yet. But that middle guy, that 11th guy.
Jordan Poyer and Mike Hyde are pretty good, too. You know, after looking at these... Jimmy Ward, 9.5, Amos, 9 million. I would say maybe 8 to 9 million. Diggs, 6.2. And he was, I don't know if you guys saw it. Kondre Diggs is, he's a free agent this year, broke his fibula in the last minute.
Yeah, bad luck.
That's
horrible, man.
That's
horrible,
man.
I
was like,
he was ready for a big payday, too, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would have been.
He still talks highly of Detroit.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah. He was probably due for one of those, you know, top salaries that we just mentioned. But, I'm thinking about more. I'm going to say 8 to 9 million for Tracy Walker.
Well, UJ pointed this out to me, and he's got some people pulling for him within the organization. Did you say it was Pleasant or
the DB coach?
UJ? Was it Pleasant or was it Glenn that
it was Glenn?
Glenn recently yeah. made a public, like, you know, voiced his hopes that they'd retain Tracy Walker specifically.
Oh yeah,
publicly. So I'm just saying, for whatever that's worth, and I think that would be worth something, I think they're going to make an effort to retain him. And I don't think they're going to have to really overpay, but I think he's going to get paid well. And if they do end up paying him like $10 million, I don't, like I said, it's all like so complicated. If they think that's right, I'm okay with it. I trust this organization.
I think they want him back for sure. And that, but I, you know, yeah. They don't. Yeah. I don't think they want to overpay for anybody the way this is going right now.
No.
No.
At the same time, you don't want to lowball either, though. If you want players to come here, you can't be lowballing people all the time and getting that reputation, you know. And it's a fine line to walk, I'm sure. But Tracy Walker, you got him credit as a good businessman, though. He says, I'm going to pick the last game of the season to have my best game and go out on a really, really high note. Yeah. They're going to love it.
Game ceiling pick, too.
Me.
It's like, couldn't do it more dramatically.
Yeah.
Well, if they really think he's fundamental, all I'm saying is get ready to see him get paid to stay in the Detroit, guys, because I think they do see him as a building block for this defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we think about Derek Barnes in this game and just his...
He had a couple... He had, like, one really good run block, I thought.
Had a sack.
Run block?
But,
Other...
Was he beyond offense?
I think... I mean, sack, sorry. My mind is frayed, but... I want to see a massive upkeep from him next year. I think Derek Barnes was not as impressive as I wanted. Him and McNeil both, I'd like to see big jumps from next season.
I think he still needs to impress the coaches.
Actually, I thought McNeil, his improvement over the season is extremely encouraging. Levi and Wuzirike, we talked about some last podcast too, so I don't have to go into it super deep, but a lot of improvement needed there. But I think Lee McNeil a couple really nice stuffs in the run game this time, and one or two decent passes. Rushers, although sometimes he just can stand and not get much of a pass rush too.
As far as Barnes is concerned, remember it took Levy till year three to really start to show what he was capable of, and then I think it was still wasn't year four till he had a true breakout, and I hope, but that being said, Levy was showing significant progress each year, and I do expect Barnes to be a much more consistent contributor next year. But I have high hopes for him. I doubt he's going to sit on his laurels after this season.
That would be nice.
He seems like a hard worker.
He showed no signs of a comp to Levy yet, but I'm hoping. I mean,
I will come a break on the touchdown that he gave up.
Do you remember rookie Levy?
Oh yeah, Z. I know the one you're talking about. He was right there, man.
Oh,
he was an inch taller.
I mean, you don't want Barnes in coverage against any wide receiver, really, especially Allen Lazard.
Jeez.
I mean, that was just I think a bad defense, and so that's why I don't put all the blame on him necessarily right there. Almost no linebacker in the league will be able to cover that unless you're like Micah Parsons is playing this year.
Isaiah Simmons probably could have covered.
Well, he's a different player then,
and we could have had him.
We got a CUDA.
We could play that game all day.
Thanks for assuaging my
No, but I'm still high in Barnes though, as far as the future goes. It was a rookie season.
Oh, me too.
You know, he shows definitely shows the potential, even though he's inconsistent.
Isn't it nice that we expect every Brad Holmes pick to just be a god right away? Now it's like, but that's how high we are.
A sun guy.
Yeah, true. I think so. But a CUDA, by the way. That guy stuck around all year with the team. Do you see that? He's like wants to be part of this whole thing, and he's been working his ass off. So I'm not giving up on that guy yet.
No, none of us are giving up on him.
So fuck Isaiah Simmons, man. Screw that guy.
Oh, damn.
I love it. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Isaiah Simmons has been really good this year for the Cardinals. So.
Yeah, they lost again.
Oh, fuck him.
Cardinals suck, Big Z, and the Cardinals are about to get knocked out the first
game.
We
kick their asses.
One man a team does not make, so that is a silly argument. But
can we quote you on that one?
So, I mean, time will tell about whether we made the right pick there, of course. But when we get people healthy, it'll be interesting. You know what? Something I wanted to mention when we were talking about the offense.
Romeo.
Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Big V, and Sewell was supposed to be our starting five coming into season. Never played one snap together all year.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey, can I point out one thing about that? Really, just a quick little, it's a reference to earlier, is that when Decker went out, they immediately called that crazy double pass reverse for a touchdown to Raymond, I think, on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever one. The second one, I can't remember what
Brock
the
Wright.
Order was. Was it?
Right after the turnover?
It was the Brock Wright was last. Anyway, they called it right after Decker was out. So, you know, as an O-lineman, I can tell you, the more complicated and the longer a play takes to develop, the harder it is to block, and it's so hard. So, I mean, when you're doing that with, you know, all second string tackles or worse and guards, that's really impressive that they pulled that off. So to me, that's a real testament to the coaching on this team. They lost their top tackle and then immediately ran a trick play that was complex and took time to develop, and they all pulled it off without a hitch. And that's all coaching. That's coordination. That's really impressive.
Well, I liked it too because it came right after the turnover. So maybe the defense is couldn't fully get their mind right away or something like that. And also a really good job by Brock Wright on that play to really sell the block on the outside, then release and go down the sideline. Brock Wright does kind of a
He's
sneaky.
He's got potential too.
Yeah.
This kid, man.
Really nice touchdown catch against Minnesota. Another good game in this one.
And that's a UJ call right there. He called him early before the season began.
You know, but it's great what they're doing this year. I mean, obviously, as far as record goes, you got to give this team a pass. You have to. They're rebuilding, but they're putting all these kids in tough spots and seeing what they can do. And I'm telling you, these kids are stepping up, man. It's really impressive how they've got so much out of these guys who other teams wouldn't even give a second look at a lot of these guys, and they've come in and performed. You know. Especially the defensive secondary, I'd say overall. But, you know, guys like Wright, too, and all that. I mean, just another example. But just amazing what the staff has done with this
Evan
talent
Brown.
On this team.
Yeah.
Evan Brown. Yeah.
No, you're right, UJ. That's been the next man up, actually. Like, every coach we've had over the last decade has said next man up, but then we've watched them decline rapidly every time someone gets injured.
Especially this last year. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, right. But this year it was kind of like actually like a real next man up, like no matter what, who it, like we, and that's why, interestingly, I think this season's gonna, and I'll go more into this when we get into our, you know, grades and stuff, but like I think this season more than anything discovered our depth, a lot of depth that's going to be fundamental building forward. Like I think there's, we got some starters and we got some studs, but like we really fleshed out the depth that we're going to build over going forward. I think guys like Jerry Jacobs, AJ Parker, CJ Moore, by the way, made a couple really nice plays in this game, including the interception, and that he had another one where he came in. But I'm just saying, this team, like going forward, I see a lot of depth, not necessarily all the stars we need, but I see a lot of the guys who are playing prominent roles this year becoming the new depth of.
Yeah.
And
what about one of the better moves from Holmes? He's taken a lot of gambles, like 1 year gambles, easy gambles at some guys. But Charles Harris, that guy looked like he wasn't living up to it, but he might be living up to it now that we got him, man. That guy was highly touted coming out of college, and he could never do much.
First round pick.
Now he looks legit.
Good call,
I think Campbell, he trusts these guys. You know, he puts trust in them, and they feel that trust back, you know? Like, I think in previous regimes, especially under Patricia, I don't think Patricia trusted any of his players. And it went both ways. I think this is completely the opposite. I mean, Campbell trusts these guys to do their job. He trusts them to go out there and do the work and all that, and they're doing it. And, you know, they're reciprocating. So, I don't know. It's just, this feels so different.
It does.
That's all I can
tell. It really does.
You know, on
we
top
always
of that,
talked
UJ,
ourselves into it.
He,
I know. Right? I know, we do.
But on top of that, UJ, he's not, it's not like, this is like, just like, all some lovey-dovey, super like, oh gosh, like, everyone's great. Like, they cut their top receiver signings for the for the season. Like, Breshad Perriman was gone. Like, I'm just saying, like, they were, they you know, they may be positive in the way they build up their players and stuff, but there's no, like, letting slack or anything to be given. Like,
not at all.
Expectations are still super high, but they run it a they keep a positive environment. And I like that combination a lot.
And
out
of all the teams under 500 this year in the NFL, Lions were the only one above 500 against the spread, and they were 11 and 6.
Yeah,
just saying they exceeded the
degenerate.
That's
gamblers
a playoff.
Just saying they exceeded the expectation.
All the other teams that get against the spread are very good. So, hey, next year
this is our degenerate gambler moment.
Next year we're going undefeated against the spread. That's my early hot prediction.
Wow!
Oh wow!
That's never been done in the history.
I'm not saying we're going undefeated. But undefeated against the spread.
Just against the spread.
Another guy I just want to give a shout out to. It's been really nice since he's come over to the Lions. But Riley Patterson, just another really solid.
Yes.
When he kicks it, you just feel comfortable. Like, it's going in. I don't even think twice about
it. Absolutely.
Anything within reason, obviously. I texted this to our group, but I got some Jason Hansen vibes off this kid. Like, I'm not sure he has the long leg. Like
he does.
Like,
I can tell you. That was going to be my next point. Watching him in warm-ups.
Well, his one miss was from a little longer. That's why I was a little.
I was just telling you,
sure,
in warm-ups, he made a 56-yarder that would probably have been good from 63.
A lot of kickers can do that in warm-ups. That's not uncommon.
But everything in reasonable range that you'd expect a kicker to miss, he's rock solid. Everything you'd expect a kicker to make in the pros, he's rock solid. And you just feel confident that
and
he's going to.
There's a stat with that. Kicker who kicks it the most middlest between the goalposts, like in the direct center.
That's
leading the league.
I don't know if you ever played Madden training camp, but that was like one of the training camp games where you try to have the kicker kick it right in the middle, and it's a big green zone. The outside's like just a red zone.
I would definitely
before my time, you young whippersnappers.
I would definitely love to see him.
Before your time?
Before your time. I'd really love to see him get a look from 60-plus next year.
Yeah. You guys are playing Madden. UJ was playing Johnny Unitas football.
With those little vibrating
the Rumble Bowl
guys
or whatever. Mobile.
Yeah. With the little felt football.
Tech Mobile.
Yeah. The vibrating metal things. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not playing that newfangled Madden stuff.
So The last thing I want to mention, this is just because it's recent news, we want to react to it here, but Minnesota fires Mike Zimmer and their GM, Rick Spielman, Chris Spielman's brother, and then Chicago, in a shocker, fires Matt Nagy,
yeah,
and also their GM, Ryan Pace.
I want to say something about the press conference. I don't know if anyone watched that, the McCaskey presser, but
yep.
Man, oh man, what a difference that was from how the whole Brad Holmes thing was handled. Basically, if you didn't watch it, it's going to be the whole squad that picked the last coach and GM doing it again. Bill Polian is like 90 years old, is going to be, he's the guy who thought Chad Kelly was the best quarterback in the 2017 draft. He's going to be spearheading the search for a next head coach.
Bill Polian?
And, yeah, and it's just such night and day difference between how the Lions conducted everything and how the Bears are just praying again that it'll work out. It gives me a lot of faith in the Lions going forward with the division.
It's just funny being like in some Bears chats or groups like with Bears fans in it, just how upset they are with their team continuously.
They have no faith in the organization to do it right this time.
No, they don't.
You know, that is one thing that's nice is that as we end this season, despite our record, we are in a nice upward trend in a good spot compared to a lot of other teams, especially in our division. So that is nice.
You know, like the Bears, they have a lot of their issues, but even worse might be Minnesota in terms of the salary cap they have for next year.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now they're firing their coach GM. They might not have Kirk Cousins back next year. So they are in a lot of hell. And then even Green Bay, you know, Aaron Rodgers, will he stay? Will he not? Will he retire? Nobody knows. But they also have a lot of salary cap issues. So Adams, at the very least, will be gone if Rodgers isn't. They can't keep both of them. So there'll be a lot of changes here in Detroit on the up and up. It'll be interesting to see how aggressive we are in free agency and such.
Yeah. Basically, like, what Big Z is saying.
Do we
want
to win now, or are we still going to do this slowly?
No. We're running this division for the next decade. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. What do you mean, win now? I don't think was
no,
ever.
No.
Win now.
Hold on.
Win
a second.
Now
stop.
Is like the Rams. You trade two first rounders for Matt Stafford. Like,
oh, no, they're
not
ready
around
for that yet.
Are we creating? No. Okay, is that what some arbitrary label you just created up? Because no, we're still win now.
That's a
we're
very
win now
term.
With Campbell.
I didn't make it up.
I'm just saying, Campbell took over this year, and we'll get more into this when we get into grades, but like he was never not intending to win this year. Like,
well, no, of course not.
Called it a retool, not a rebuild. Yeah.
I'm just saying. He went out there trying to lose for the first.
I don't think he was expecting to win either.
But you know what? That win now mentality that you just described, I also don't think is a sign of a good program, generally speaking. I don't think the best programs have to take Hail Mary picks when they get their roster near and then like, you know, break the bank and just cripple themselves for the next 6 years to finish their team. I think the best teams, you know, are more like the Patriots and they build themselves well. So when they do take big shots, it's not like some crazy thing. I think the Rams have set themselves up in a rough way.
Would you trade three first rounders for a player that would give us a Super Bowl? I would. I want a Super Bowl.
Well, the Rams have built themselves up to be consistently good, though, and they do take those shots intelligently.
Also,
I think it's a terrible example.
They've also sold a shit ton of their future away in draft picks. Their ability
they're
to
a really good drafting
the draft
team.
Has been crippled.
They're a great drafting team.
They were when Brad Holmes was there.
He wasn't the GM, though.
What are you saying? Yeah. This is nonsense. Yeah. How can you say the Rams are a badly run team? That's crazy.
Are you saying people that trade to win now, you don't agree with that strategy at all?
I said the best run teams don't require on like major, you know, Hail Mary shots to complete their roster.
Your only example is the Patriots, and that's the only team that has done that.
No, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Ravens.
Steelers are in cap trouble, too.
The teams that you consistently see competing for playoffs and Super Bowls every year, the Packers, you know, they don't take Hail Mary shots on and break the bank on their future draft prospects to get one or two good players. They build consistently good rosters that then they can maybe take a good shot on a really good player to plug in, but they're not going to cripple them their ability to replenish. Like the Rams, I mean, just think of how many picks the Rams have sacrificed to keep adding talent.
And they
to this
keep
roster.
Replenishing.
Once this bubble of time is over, they're going to be in trouble.
The Rams seem like an outlier, though, from what you're talking about.
The Rams are excellent.
They're just the example that pops into my head. But I'm just saying the best run programs don't don't have to break the bank. Like the Bears, when they broke the bank for Jay Cutler, or, I mean, the teams that take Hail Mary shots on a few prospects tend to not be the most successful teams. That's all I'm saying. Take it for what it's worth. It might even be
what
wrong.
What is it worth?
But I said
hey,
it.
Let me say one thing, though, about the Lions rebuild. I think next year, just
retool.
If they stay the course or whatever what they're doing, they should be competing for a playoff spot next year. I mean, yeah, late in the season, they should be in the running for something.
Absolutely.
And if not making it in the playoffs.
It all depends on Goff. And if he can, if Goff for the last 4 weeks is there next season, then yes, they will absolutely be in playoff contention, I think.
Is that not win now, expecting us to be in playoff contention?
If you're trying to re-explain your point, I still don't get it. You can just tell those guys.
I wasn't trying to re-explain my point. I was just asking.
There's win
now. Is that not win now?
Put your microphone next to your mouth.
There is win now from a coaching mentality, and there's win now from the management mentality, and it's different, I think, because I think right now they are playing the long game, and they're trying to build a team that'll be a winner for a long time. Meanwhile, when game day comes, you play to win every game, no matter what. You play as hard as you can, you try to win. That doesn't mean the management isn't still playing the long game. So,
I think that'll be evidenced by how they attack free agency. Like, for instance, in free agency this year, they gave out a bunch of 1-year contracts that are really cheap. But like, do they go after like a Mike Williams this offseason and throw a bunch of money at him? That's what I'm curious about.
I don't know.
The answer.
They're gonna break the bank for anybody this year, to be honest.
Unless they were close, I don't think they would do that. And I mean, they were smart not to sign Kenny Golladay. They didn't overpay for him. You know.
Well, that's worked out great because Taylor Decker has as many touchdown catches as him this year.
Yeah.
So.
That is crazy.
And now we get a third rounder out of it. The Giants are, their head coach literally said, "We are not a clown show." But I think everybody outside
didn't their
that's
GM
exactly
just
what
retired?
A clown show would say.
Their GM got fired.
No, he retired though. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that how they're labeling it? Okay.
Yeah, he retired
before he got fired.
Yeah, he would have been fired 100%.
Because Joe Judge is still a coach right there now.
As of this, at this time, yes. So,
yeah. Speaking of clown shows, did you see the Jacksonville, the fans?
Yeah.
I don't know how it turned out. That. I didn't see the video, but they were all supposed to come as dressed as clowns.
That's the best way to do a protest. Calling people clowns is like the best thing you can do when you're angry. That's my thing. If anyone's ever in a Lions chat with me, I love to throw the circus around and clowns around a lot at people that I hate, so... I love that.
And then they end up winning, and Jaguars fans are like, wow, we can't even get the number one pick the right way. But then they end up getting it still.
Yeah.
That's one of the wildest things, too. The Colts have a chance to go to the playoffs and lose to a 2-win team.
Yeah, because Carson Wentz just sucks.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Jared Goff's officially better than Carson Wentz.
I just want to say on Goff, though, I actually feel reasonably comfortable going into next year with Goff as our starter. And at the beginning of the season, I would not have said that.
Right.
But I was
rewatching this game, and I think his pocket presence has gotten a little better. He stepped up in the pocket a little more. I think he's trusted people in front of him, or maybe just the scheme in general a little more.
And I saw a spiral on one of his passes.
Well,
too.
Oh, now that the season's over, and you know, I can finally give my assessment that yes, I am comfortable going with Goff forward as well. You know. There's a lot of knee-jerk reactions throughout the season, but I can finally say this was my
It wasn't knee-jerk. Final. He was terrible in the beginning.
He was.
No, he struggled. Awful. But it wasn't just him. The team around him was depleted completely. True. And when he finally got a team around him, he produced. So
team around
I think he met the minimum requirements of what we hope to see this year to move forward in next year without having to feel the urgency to draft a guy
biggest change
early
is Dan Campbell,
in the NFL draft
and
next year.
The play calling significantly changed. His QB quarterback rating was like hovering like around 80 with Anthony Lynn. Then when they changed, his average is now like 105. Like a significant jump and improvement.
Yeah, you're right about that, Z, for sure.
That's true. But right around the same time, Josh Reynolds came on board, and I'm not sure who's more important in that improvement. But
I have an answer.
I would
that
say
Dan
they
Campbell.
Both share some.
Dan Campbell.
They have a share.
Campbell.
I think
Campbell.
Josh Reynolds opened up the entire offense.
Not denying that he's helped, but.
Dan Campbell's play calling has been night and day. I mean, you can see why Anthony Lynn parted ways with the Lions. I mean, there's a
philosophical
difference.
Just real quick, I know we talked about this before, but next year Campbell is the play caller, yes or no?
I don't know.
Yes.
That's unknowable.
Because
I hope he continues.
There's a lot of talk about Ben Johnson and how much input he's had on calling the offense, a tight end coach. So it's hard to say without being in the headphones, like who's calling it, designing it more. So
I wouldn't be upset with it, though. I'll tell you that. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
What's that, Bob? Say it again.
I guess I just wanted to.
I wouldn't be upset with it. I think Campbell's done a good job learning on the job, and I think he's gotten better all the time.
I think we'd all agree.
I will say it's really nice to know that we have a coach that can call plays, even if he isn't the play caller next year. Like he can step in that role at any time.
See, it even turned Connor around because Connor was really down. Play calling.
I wasn't down on his play calling. I said it was not a sure thing that he would call plays next year, and you were all like rabid dogs attacking me.
Rabid dog. You just said it wasn't what he advertised himself as when we hired him.
That is
it wasn't
true.
What we hired him to do.
We did not hire him as a play caller.
We hired him to win games.
We did.
We hired him to win games, whatever that looks like, and that's for him to figure out.
Even Bob doesn't talk about Jim Bob Cooter.
I'm sorry.
Anymore. Oh,
we almost went one episode without mentioning.
You
his
can't
name.
Tell me
God rest his
that
soul.
We hired him for his play calling abilities because he'd never done it before. That's just
we hired.
That's
him
tomfoolery, Rod Dog. You are acting like a
what's tomfoolery?
You're acting like a clown. Right
you're the
now.
Clown here, Connor. Don't preemptive strike.
We're gonna start a circus pod, and you're gonna
coming.
Be on it with me. We're gonna talk about.
All right, are we gonna
shows.
Get in a clown car?
Yeah, I hope so. We could do a big red.
Okay, as long as there's clown cars, I'm
a big
in.
Red nose on the front. We can do the little clown song. You know what I'm talking about?
Hells yes. All right. Fake smiles on her face.
You know the clown song. I can't. You know, like that whole thing.
Can we play Bozo's? Yeah,
we're going to drive to Detroit and pod all the way there. Then switch.
And we'll all get out of a tiny little Mini Cooper. And it'll be everyone will be impressed that we all fit in
there.
Yeah, that's a good song, though, Connor. That could be like the Giants. Theme song. Clown show over there.
Yeah, before Daniel Jones is listening to it in the his headset.
Before we wrap up, I just want to mention to the listeners who the Lions play next year. So we, just in case you're wondering who we got. Who I'm excited about this team. I want to travel and see them maybe or something like that. But so the division: Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. This is who we host. Oh no, sorry. This is who I'm on the road for: Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago. Obviously, then the Cowboys. The Giants, the Jets, so in New York twice, then the Patriots and the Panthers. Then we host Packers, Vikings, Bears, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Eagles, Washington football team, soon to have a different name in a couple weeks, the Seahawks, and the Jaguars. So that's our 2022 opponents.
No Cardinals for
no Cardinals. 17-0 season.
No Cardinals.
Thank God.
But that's a very winnable schedule, I think.
I see at least 10 wins there.
Yeah.
First 17-0 season. Here we come, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll be predicting it next year.
All right, gentlemen. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. So, obviously, this is the end of the regular season. We won't have any more games to react to. What we're going to do next week is give our grades on the season. We're going to go by position group, coaches, GM, ownership, go through it all, give our grades. So we'll have a week to prepare, really think it through, because these are very important grades. You know, they got the players, they take these grades and send them home to their parents.
They're going to go in the permanent record.
That's right. So stay tuned for that. We'll be excited to give that to you. And we'll be curious to hear, you know, our listeners' thoughts too on grades, but hear ours first, and then so you can really take all the information in.
Derek Barnes is nervous. He doesn't want to show the grade to his parents. He's scared.
All right, gentlemen, that's going to do it. Our producer, Kid Jay, thank you so much for all the work you've done this season. Really appreciate it. As we mentioned before, he is a Rams fan, so he's still got some rooting to do. The Rams playing a Monday night, a playoff game on a Monday night. There's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's just
that's what Stafford wanted. The bright lights, Monday night.
So, yeah, Monday.
We need Mr. Miyagi to heal his back before that game.
Really quick, who do you guys think wins the Super Bowl out of the remaining teams? UJ, you go first.
Oh boy!
All right, Bob, you go first. We'll go back to UJ.
Rams, Stafford, redemption. It's happening. I know. They look down and out now. I called it early.
Connor?
I'm going to say the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be a sneaky team in the playoffs.
Yeah. Rud Dog.
Hopefully anyone but the Rams, but no, or the Packers. Or no,
that's not an answer.
Buccaneers.
Wow.
Buccaneers can do it again.
Buccaneers. All right. UJ.
Yeah, I'm actually sort of leaning Bills too, but only because I don't want to say the Packers, because I think the Packers got the best team right now. But I'm going to lean Bills. Sure. I'm going to say Bills.
I'm going to go the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win it.
They could.
Good choice.
Oh, nobody's picking the Titans, and they're the number one seed in the AFC. So they have the most losses since like late 90s for a team that is the number one seed in the conference. Really? So.
I like the Titans. I think they're well run.
Well, there's also another game.
Titans really underrated defense. I don't think they get enough credit.
Still wish we had hired
a guy we could have drafted.
Yeah.
Still wonder if we had hired Vrabel instead of Patricia, where it'd be at right now.
If only.
If only. Yep. Our series to come.
We should do an if only pod.
I think we're trending that direction.
Yes, we're gonna do it. We're doing it.
What if?
So thank you everybody for listening.
I got a few of those.
Sideline Report, thank you for hosting the podcast as well. SidelineReport.com. Really appreciate it. But other than that, Spotify, Apple, where we get your podcast, download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. We post a lot on there on our trip to weekend in Detroit, rather this weekend. So I hope you caught some of that. And then Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the Lions season. Are you optimistic for the future? Are you not drinking the Kool-Aid? Let us know. But we are excited. We're drinking the Kool-Aid. 2022-2023 is going to be a phenomenal season. But again, come back next week. We got our grades for the season. And then it's draft. Well, it's free agency and draft time. So we got a lot to talk about.
A lot.
It'll be a lot of fun. But thank you, buddy, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go. Lions! Woo!
Good job, boys.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.